You know what time it is. Welcome to Great Table Talk. Four childhood friends coming together to make a difference in our everyday community. Enjoy this week's episode.
Welcome to Great Table Talk, everyone. It's your girl, Cash.
Hey, it's Ree.
And it's Brandon.
Oh, he's finally on cue. Look at me. Well, we're going to open up today, not with a hot topic, but we're going to start off with a Twitter topic.
All right. So the tweet of the day reads as such. I just wish these pastors would talk to men about being husbands as much as they talk to the women about being wives. What are y'all thoughts on that?
I'm gonna let the brother lead. Go ahead. What are your thoughts on it?
I mean, women questions, like who's giving the message? Like we can never get confused in the fact that whoever gives the message has their own slanted bias. You get, you know, I mean, a male can be objective, but a male is still going to be a male at the end of the day. His prime objective is not really men. Like, we don't really think about men during the course of the day.
Okay.
So, you know, we fast. What is that? It's not fascinating. What's that? We fixate on women more than we fixate on men. So we, what's that other Bible thing? We don't see the strong eye.
Yeah, the plank in our own eye. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're better see the speck in our brother's eye. So. I mean, but okay. Which, here's my thing. You said the pastor who tweeted this?
I'm not sure who this young lady is.
But state the statement again, because
states,
I want to make sure.
I just wish these pastors would talk to men about being husbands as much as they talk to the women about being wives.
Okay, being raised in a church myself, I have seen quite a bit of bias. And it did harp a lot on wives being wives, but, you know, the men, they would probably say, you know, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And that's probably like the most that I've heard most ministers say. I'm sorry, ain't that terrible? Should we put on? Okay, phone on mute. Check me out. But here's the thing. I think it's important for churches, ministers, leaders to speak on both. I think it's very, very important. I'm telling you, a lot of brothers don't know how to be husbands because, A, they were never really taught. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I really kind of find it kind of tough for a man to speak on a woman being a wife. Mm-hmm. You know, because the Bible states, and again, I know I don't want to get churchy, but the Bible speaks that the older woman should teach the younger women
right. How
to be wives. Mm-hmm. So my thing is, if everybody do their job, you know what I'm saying? Women, do your job and have a mentor or sit at the feet of wisdom of these older women who've been there and done that. I think we'll be in a better place.
I agree with that. I think a lot of times we don't have that wisdom that we sit under. Mm-hmm. I was watching an episode of The Cosby Show with my husband, and the episode was about Sandra and Alvin were having a fight about some subject. I can't remember exactly what it was, but basically Alvin ended up sitting in the kitchen with Dr. Huxtable, and Sandra went into the living room with Claire.
Right.
And they both gave each of them advice and understanding about how to work out their issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times we don't have that. I know, as far as my church, I do see that we do have that. We have men's ministry, women's ministry,
right.
Couples marriage ministry. We have that, but it's not out there as much as it should be.
Right.
And I think that is what's needed, that guidance.
Oh, he's itching over there. Oh, go ahead, brother, because you itching.
Itching for a scratch.
For me, I mean, I want us to see, like, if we can look at the tweet and we see it that way, I'll give you another way to look at the tweet. Like, the tweet kind of outlines the thing that's right in front of our face. Like, the Bible and even the church itself, like, it's a male-dominated society. It's a male-dominated profession. And even the Bible itself is pretty much male-dominated because it's going to teach women to be submissive in the first place. There's no real equality in it. So, I mean, she's tweeting about it, but, it's not the way it's ever going to play. And it's the reason I think women got into the ministry in the first place, and where it was such a firestorm when it first happened, because women did want more of a message that catered more towards the things that they felt were important and needed to be addressed. And, you know, until there's more of that or balance in that, I mean, it's going to be a lot of people dissatisfied, but that's going to come down to the pastor and I guess the church you support.
Okay. Which kind of leads us to the main topic of today's podcast. Now, this might get heated, folks, but I want you to know it's all in love. Am I my brother's keeper? And I kind of want to dedicate this episode to the fellas out there. I mean, we can talk so much about women, 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 but I want to dedicate this particular episode to the fellas. So fellas, I love you, but here it goes. What happened, or let me just even go on your personal life for a second. Tell me your, and I'm not talking about your personal life as far as, I'm not Tell digging like that. No. No. Cherie, sir? No.
Oh, no. Not talking to
you. I want to know what happened to us being our brother's keeper in the aspect of holding each other accountable. And I'm going to tell you why I personally get this from. I look on social media at times, and even when I am around, you know, the fellas out there in those streets, mm-hmm. I see a lot of fellas like to hang together. We like to, even with the YBS brand, you have a lot of men backing you all. And it's a beautiful thing. I love to see when everyone comes together to support right. a cause, right? Yeah. But in that same token, what happened to the community of brothers that if they see something, if they hear something along with their fellow brothers, and I'm talking about brothers that you are close to, that you hang out with often, that you call your family, you know, what happened to that accountability?
Well, I mean, to start kind of closer to the beginning of what you were saying, the real answer to that question is that friendships aren't what they used to be. Mm-hmm. Like we used to talk about how it used to be back in the day, but the thing was, the fact of the matter was most is that you were together. Like we live in a time right now to where we don't really value together time or being around each other as much, because you figure like, well, I can catch up with them on social media, or, you know, I'll see them next week, mm-hmm. and things like that. And when you don't have genuine friendship or you don't have genuine physical bonds, you know, the things change. Like I think people get caught up with thinking that people are friends that aren't really friends. And if you're talking about holding each other down and really having a brotherhood, like, you got to have that friendship. You got to have that feeling that, like, that man's my brother. If not, then it's just another dude in the street. Mm-hmm. And you don't have that. Like, I think if we get back to valuing together time and putting things together, that's why when there are a group of people and a lot of people together, how powerful it feels inside of you, because there's power in that. Mm-hmm. Like, physically being around each other brings a complete different energy.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. And what I'm trying to say, when can we start that? I mean, I understand that we got away with it for so long, but when can we start that?
That's on mm-hmm. us. Like, if the three of us can have this conversation, then it's on us to make it happen.
Right.
I think that's a lot of our problem, too, is, like, we all have the idea, we all have the vision, and we all say we want to back it, but we don't want any person to make it happen.
Right. Like, and I'm going to tell you one of the things that personally get on my nerves, and I'm not asking you all a co-sign on it, but this is a personal thing, so, you know, blame me. I am sick and tired of organizations, groups, you know, cliques, gangs. Okay, not the gangs, whatever. But let's even start in the church. You have a lot of brothers in the church that may do certain things. And I'm not saying, even in friendship and in family, you're going to have people that do things that you don't agree with. But it's that accountability. What happened to that accountability? We always quick to want to rep something. You know, I'm a Q, I'm a this, I'm a that. I ain't just singling out Qs. I'm not really trying to be politically correct. I'm talking about organizations. I don't care. I'm a deacon, a head deacon on a board. I'm on the board of the church or whatever. We don't always want to rep who is our friends and name drop and be in these organizations. But at the end of the day, you can know your brother is not doing right. Mm-hmm. And you're not calling it to his attention. Because keep in mind, the brothers, we women depend on y'all to kind of have some order. You know, it's the strength of a man is a beautiful thing.
Well, that's an understanding the word of brother or sister. Mm-hmm. You know, if I see my sister doing something or saying something that isn't, you know, in line with who she is or who my brother is, as the sister, I'm supposed to say something to them out of love. And I would want that to come back to me.
And what happened to that? What happened to accountability? I mean, you got people right now who love to say, oh, my queen. be on Facebook, all my queenness and my queen. And this is no shade, because you should rep your queen. I don't personally believe in Facebook love, but that's a personal thing. That's not here nor there.
That's another episode.
That's another. Like I'm hating, like. But what I'm saying is you want to rep it, but then all your homeboys know you cheating on your wife. That's some BS. Again, you get what I'm saying?
It's not like it's not real. Like even with like the social media age has allowed people to create facades. Like before, you had to be you because people physically saw you all the time. Like yes. you're we shape that character of you around what we saw daily, not what you manufacture and make believe for us.
Okay.
And as long as those things are in place and those people don't come out, then they get to kind of live in that false reality. So who's really trying to check a man that's already living in a false reality? Like, he already knows it. For a man to go and tell a man that's already living in a lie, you can't tell him nothing that he doesn't already know. He's making a conscious decision to make those decisions.
Okay, so what is our responsibility when we see this? And I understand that he may be living in this false sense of reality, because I'm telling you, a couple times on Facebook, I was hanging out with MC Light, LL Cool J and them. You get what I'm saying? But people who know me knows the truth. But it's not about what social media says. It's about the person who I walk beside, I call my friend, calling me out on my BS. Because that's the only thing that's going to keep me straight, is that
and
accountability.
And it goes back to Brandon's point earlier. A lot of times we're not together. A lot of times where we are and how we connect is, unfortunately, online.
Okay, in saying that, those people who call you, friend, and you that you hang with often, you get what I'm saying, that you've established some level of accountability.
But I think that does happen. I know I have private conversations with people that maybe continue in a habit, and it doesn't mean that the conversation wasn't had or he wasn't checked on what it was. It's
that's
just
a good
that
one. Yeah,
they're in it, like they've committed to this, even if if you were talking about infidelity and things like that, like they already know it's wrong. They've committed to it. Like it ain't like it ain't really one of those things where it's like, you know what, bro? Yeah, you're right about that. I probably shouldn't have been doing that for the last 9 months, 10 months.
Okay,
it's a dedication that we're not taking. We can't take for granted. Like this person's been consciously doing this over and over and over. It's like waking up at 6 o'clock. Just because you're off don't mean you're not gonna wake up at 6.
Okay, well I'm glad that you said that, because again, if that continues to happen, is that person really, even if you called it out on that person, this is my thing.
You got to be that person that's always like, look, bro, I don't like the way you carrying yourself. I don't like the way you're doing it. All I can do is remove myself from you, because you obviously committing yourself to an
there
activity that doesn't sit right with me.
There you go. And that's what I'm trying to say. We, as a people, we have to do better with holding our friends accountable. And not only that, if they don't want to be accountable after a certain amount of time, you have to remove yourself.
That's
and I
true.
Think that's the hardest thing, because sometimes, and it even goes on in relationships. Sometimes, and I'm going to even talk about the ladies for a minute. If a man has proven to you who he is time and time and time and time again, I can assure you he's not going to change, because you never change.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So if you decide to make a change and begin to drastically remove yourself from the situation, and I say drastically in the aspect of putting some feet to your fate, not in the aspect of, you know, I'm going to jump across this table and, you know, all this other stuff going to happen and then everybody going to, no, not that. But you have to remove yourself. Sometimes you have to make a stand for something.
Absolutely.
It comes down to that. Because I'm saying something else that we miss is that a lot of times in situations like that, everybody in the situation already knows.
Right.
They feel worse that now they realize that you know.
Right. Right. Right.
Right.
And sometimes stuff got to get exposed. I think if people stop pussyfooting around the idea of standing up for something that's righteous, like my righteous may not be your righteous.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? My passion may not be your passion. But if we are in a community and communing with one another and call ourselves friends and call ourselves, there are certain core things that shouldn't go against the grain of who we are.
No, I mean, I agree with that. But I was just saying, like, it all falls on us, because if we know somebody's a robber, we stay away from him. We make sure that they don't know that we got nothing that's value. Like, I mean, if a person's a cheater, we don't turn away from them the way that we turn away from you know, somebody that we feel is going
right.
harm us. We feel like
right.
that's their issue. That's their thing that they got to take care of.
Right. You're right. That's real talk. I mean, I think, you know, this particular, you know, episode of this podcast has definitely been, you know, close to my heart, because it's just, even as individuals and myself as growing throughout the years, I know that the people who are close to me, I owe them, it's a responsibility of mine to not only be accountable to those people, but also for those people to be accountable to me.
Yeah.
And that's when you notice the older you get, kind of that circle gets a little smaller, because
Absolutely.
Your standards, you know, kind of becomes refined over some time.
Definitely. And if you have a friend, I mean, a friend should be able to check you. Like if they can't, then they're not really friends.
Right. That's that true. Comes with the word.
Yeah.
That comes with that title. If you're my friend, if I'm your friend, we should be able to have that conversation and still, you know, move from it and grow.
Yeah. Oh, and for y'all sisters, I'm gonna give another one. If you're not going about regularly uplifting your sister, don't continue to come to her every time there's something negative going on in her life. Like, if mm-hmm. you're not around to applaud her for the things that
there
she's doing,
That's
right?
Good.
Don't always come around to tell her about what's negative, or if you saw her man doing this, because that makes the message, that kind of shoots the messenger right there. It's like, because you'll never applaud me when I got good things going
yeah.
on, but you constantly want to tell me about the bad things that
you have to question people that always, you know, if you express that you're sad or hurt about something, they're quick to run to you and want to help. But then when you have something great going on for yourself, they are nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
They're not clapping for you. Mm-hmm. They're not mentioning you
one.
At all.
That's a good
but
one.
That is something that you definitely need to question.
That's right. Okay, you brought that out. When you say refining your friends, like that's what I think is refining friends. Like, people should support you on all aspects, and that makes their word more valuable to me. Like, I want people that are there for everything.
That's
and
right.
It doesn't mean you throw them away. They just kind of shift.
Yeah, to a segmented. Their segmented
purpose in your
life,
you know, is
right. And that's really good. I mean, that's so important. So that's powerful. Refine your friends.
Yeah, refine your friends.
Yeah. it seemed like I've learned a lot of things in my 30s. Of course, this is like the standard And I wish I knew in my 20s. You get what I'm saying? Just about friends and consequences in general.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that, even with our kids, I'm shifting to the kids for a second. As parents, it's our responsibility to hold them accountable. I think a lot of times, parents, because we're afraid of our kids kind of bumping, hurting themselves or having missed opportunities, we kind of stand up and save them when they don't learn a lesson. You get what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying that you have to, some kids, you don't have to allow them to fall and hurt themselves, you know, but it's important. Like me, I'm that parent that if there's something overall that you need to be taught, I have learned the patience of allowing you to go through that. I will teach. Now, keep in mind, I tell my kids stuff before it happens often. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I'm speaking negative into their lives. It's saying that these actions that you're performing, if you continue it, this is going to happen. So when that thing happened, I can't, you know, I'm not going to try to fuss at a teacher or try to get upset at authority that caused this thing to happen. But you need to learn from this.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the times they learn before the consequence, but there have been a few times that they had to learn after, you know, the consequence. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? I mean, so it goes in, if you practice this being accountable and holding people accountable in your life, you'll notice that within your family, with your children, with your husband, your wife, with your friends, you'll be well on your way. Anyone has any final things?
Well, I mean, I'm all for that. And I think that's the most important thing that we don't probably do enough of, because I think that all stems from us being more self-aware of us. Like you say, you learn so much from your 20s to your 30s is because you actually start to focus on the things that are important.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think about a lot of things that are really important in your 20s. You're just kind of, you know, living and going through it. And that's how our kids are. And I think that's how I rationalize with my kids all the time, is that I figure if I can teach them to want to learn, you know, their rights from wrongs, or even just kind of make them more conscious of what's important, that's how they'll police themselves in the future. Because I'm kind of scary in that it's like, I'm always telling my kids I'm not going to always be here. So
yeah.
I need to teach you how to teach yourself, how to kind of correct your mistakes as you go, and the things that you'll see along the way that are kind of like warning signs, like, yeah, don't go that way.
Right.
You know, go this way.
Right. And another thing about, am I my brother's keeper? That is, I was sent a Facebook message of, I don't know if you all remember this, but it was a guy, a little boy. He was like 10, maybe 8, 9 years old. Mm-hmm. The one that stole his grandmother's car and was joyriding.
I love that. I watched that on YouTube all the time.
Okay. So.
It's sad. I've admitted that. Right? Yeah, but I mean.
We all have our guilty pleasures, you know. And I want to do hood rack things. And what he said, I'm going to hang out with my friends and do hood rack things. Yeah. Now, they followed him through the 8th grade and he graduated. Mm-hmm. You know, and he was like, I'm going to play football, blah, blah, blah. Now, recently, he was arrested, and his grandmother's still raising him. He was arrested, and I'm not quite sure what his age is, but I think he's in high school, around 16, maybe 17 years old. Mm-hmm. And he was arrested because he and his friends got a Lyft driver, a couple guy friends and one girlfriend, and the girl got dropped off to her destination, and I think he pulled out a gun, or one of his friends pulled out a gun, and he got around in the driver's seat, and he drove off with the Lyft driver's car, he and his friends. So he's in jail. His friends are free, but he's in jail facing these charges.
Wow.
So somewhere along the line, we failed him. And I'm talking about our community and our society, because now keep in mind, his grandmother been raising him. I don't really know what happened with his parents, mom and dad, but I can assure you that right there is a great representation of what's going on in our everyday community. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when we get into trouble, and sometimes when we miss it as youth, who is going to take that responsibility? It's our responsibility to take on that kid. And there's so many children out there without a father figure, but yet these churches are full with these deacons. You know, these organizations are full with the, and we like to go out for photo ops and, oh, I gave back, and I gave this one out, took him for, take a picture, I gave him $5. But right. I'm talking about it now. It is exhausting to mentor a kid when they don't think that they even qualify. It is exhausting. It's exhausting to have a teenager as a child. Nonetheless, two or three of them at one time. It's exhausting. It's a thankless job, but it is our responsibility that we don't allow our children to be labeled. And I think that boy, if he would have had stronger male role models in his life, that he would have been more of a success. And I sure hope that the courts don't throw the book at him based off of that hood rat video that was cute and funny when he was 8, 9 years old. But we see fast forward and he's 16, 17 years old, and now he's in jail for real.
And that's why, because most people looked at it as cute and funny.
Right.
And, you know, upheld that.
You know, right. And don't get me wrong. I have my fair share of, I like a little, you know, buffoonery.
We all do.
But I'm just talking about in our everyday community, there's a boy that's 5, 6 years old that is doing some things, and no one ever came alongside him to tell him, you know what, you're better than that. Mm-hmm. You know what, I got you. And women, we can't necessarily do that. Even though we try, we can't. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We can't touch that part of a young man to let him know how valued he is.
No, I mean, no, because the mistakes were made at the parents.
Like, yeah.
That's like, I mean, you talk about like our community problem, like that's our community problem. We have too many people being parents that don't really want to be parents. They filled out for the job, but they are no show, you know, right. I mean, for the duration of it. And until we fix that problem, like, we're going to continue to deal with stuff like that. But our responsibility, like, if you want to look at it as a way for how do I affect change and make his situation better, even though I don't know him, I don't know his parents, I don't know nothing. It's, you know, beginning to, like we say, filter our friends, like filter the things that we focus on. Like, even like saying I shouldn't even have watched it like that, because like we got to start shutting stuff like that down. Like if the girls fighting come across Facebook, like, look, I'm just right. gonna go in, I'm gonna make sure that it don't get 15,000 views,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how you affect it, because kids do what's considered socially cool, period.
Right,
it
right.
was like that when we were kids, it's gonna be like right. that until they put us in the ground,
right?
So until we start dictating what's socially cool, mm-hmm. we're going to continue to deal with things mm-hmm. like that.
And see, my views are kind of a little bit different, meaning now I haven't seen a fight come across my timeline in quite some time.
You're friendless.
But yeah, I know.
Right.
But in saying that, there's sometimes that my daughter came home and showed me what they airdropped at school about mm-hmm. a fight or whatever. I'm like, man, is this really going on? But I don't necessarily mind watching it because I need to be on guard for what's out there, that if I see something that show any remnant of that personality trait in these young ladies or young men, I can call it out for what it is. Because I think a lot of us, sometimes the older that we get, we need not be so refined that we're afraid to get
and
dirty
no good to anyone else.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, it is great to kind of, you know, I'm the one, because there was a certain point in my life when I was growing up, people counted me out. So I am more conscious of looking at someone whose situation was bleak and giving them hope. And I'm talking about not hope as in you, there's something in you, you keep your head up. I'm talking about as far as year after year, month after month, day after day, that I've broken down and I invited people into my house, that I've had conversations, and we're going to have a conversation with some young folks coming up. But I want to know what's going on with you.
Well, I'll give you a dope kind of spin on that for something that's real. And anybody listening to this, they can check it and maybe fact find it on me and do it. But you say 60s and 70s and stuff like that, or 50s, when we didn't have conversations about the birds and the bees. We didn't really talk about sex in the household, and it was a discouraged thing. And if you got pregnant, you probably had to hide it because you were afraid for anybody to know. Then we got into the age to where it's like, I want to be so open with my kids about sex, and I want to make sure that they use a condom and they do this and do that. There are more kids being made now than were ever done, you know, made back then. And you didn't know nothing. You didn't even talk about it.
Right.
When we begin to make things socially acceptable, the damage is far, because even with your child is not even a fighter. But something in her brain when she watches those fights, like, everybody thinks that that's cool. Like, a part of you is like, I want to be in one of those fights one night.
Right.
Because I have an audience.
Right.
And those are the little things that are stuck in your subconscious that we don't pay enough attention to. And that's what affects everything around us.
And I think it's important to change the narrative.
Exactly.
To change the narrative. Yeah. So just because, and when she showed me that, I'm like, so how do you feel about that? And she wasn't even on recorded the video because it was off campus, but it was sent to her. And that was sometimes, like, I have one kid, she all about it. You know, I'm going to be honest, she all like, if I was, I'm like, no. And I have another kid that she's like, I mean, oh my gosh, you see that? Oh, I can't believe they did that. Where are the parents? Why wasn't the police called, you know? And then I have another kid that's like, see, that's why I don't even fool with this foolishness. I don't have no time for that. If I saw that happen, I'd be the one to call 911 and I'm out. You get what I'm saying? So there, I have three different personalities, but it gives me a great indication on the youth of today. I have three kids that was raised in the same household, that have the same mom and same dad, and their personalities are so different based on their group of friends and their levels in life. So that lets me know that there's a greater need out there.
Yeah. Just start thinking about things conceptually of how you viewed your parents and their advice to you when you were growing up. And think about now and really reflect on your kids, the things they watch, their friends, the music they listen to, and how much their actions follow suit with all the things that, all the different content that they put into their heads.
And they have exposure to so much more.
Oh, yeah.
It's not as controlled. You know, if we wanted to watch something on TV, you know, it wasn't on our phones. We didn't have access to it. You had to go in front and get permission to watch the TV.
Yeah.
Like, now, not so much.
Okay. No. The kids dictate what's going on in the household.
Even with us now, like, the two-year-olds are just walking around with their little tablets.
Yeah. They know.
We really don't want to be parents. Like, we want to have you. We want to love you when we want to. And then we want you to not bother us the rest of the time.
I'm going to tell you. But it's so easy being parents on Liberty Kids.
Time.
Yeah, this is true.
Here, baby. And
I'm going to be honest. If I had a little baby, they'd probably have an iPad. I'm not saying it's right, but they would.
My goddaughter loves my phone.
I'm here to tell you.
She takes it and sits down in the corner.
Just gone.
But yeah, but this is also coming from a parent of a 15-year-old that does not have a cell phone. So I'm one of the, you know, but let's wrap up this podcast. But I want to challenge you all before we end. Ask yourself, are you your brother's or your sister's keeper? And if you're not, begin to refine how you, your outlook on things and your friends. And then you answer that question honestly for yourself. If you want to share it below. If not, just make sure you do the work. So, we're signing off. It's Cash,
Ree,
and Brandon.
and have a good one.
Bye.
Yay, yay, yay. Okay.